to Practice Makes Podcast. This is a self-improvement podcast with insights on issues that we deal with in our day-to-day lives. I'm one of your co-hosts, Tyler Kingsbury.
And I'm one of the other co-hosts, Jordy Wofford. Here at Practice Makes Podcast, we try and help you feel good about yourselves, both from within and without. If you listen to Practice Makes Podcast, all of your wildest dreams will come true. We're glad to help you make them a reality. Thank you for listening.
Yeah. If you have these life-changing experiences, don't forget that we helped you.
Don't forget us.
I'm so excited to read these surveys, so I was just like, all right, let's do this. But first, we have a couple other things to do.
So yes, we have an agenda to respect. Yeah.
We're going to do a new season. So this is like a transitional episode. Last season was about mental health. So we have surveys up on the website, practicemakespodcast.com, that have to do with different kind of things that people have been going through, like loneliness, especially during the pandemic. There was a 10-day challenge survey. That's a good way to start new habits, to just kind of find some accountability. I think it'd be cool to make something on the Facebook page, like where people can talk to one another. I don't know how to do that, though. I'm not very good at the Facebook thing.
Can't they just leave comments on the page and interact with each other that way?
Or? I guess. I'm a little nervous about that because then I'd have to monitor it. Like, what if people start talking about politics or something?
I'm pretty skeptical that they would, but...
You are? Are you kidding? I thought that's what Facebook is for.
Well, yeah, but they can do that on their own profiles. And, like, we talk about self-improvement and... I mean, so I guess it's possible people will bring that into anything, but...
Is it bad that I just expect the worst in every situation? Of course it is.
Expect the unexpected.
Yes, especially if it's negative.
Yeah, that's all we have in the world.
Okay, so what was I saying? So the next season will be about relationships.
Yes.
Which Jordy agreed to without hesitation. I thought that he would say, I want to talk about global politics.
No, politics can wait. You know, it's just geopolitics and international news that will determine the global order. That can wait.
I think that we can incorporate it anyway. You know, we could be like a bad comic where there's like no transition. You're just like, speaking of whatever this thing is, and then you transition to that without much.
Well, finesse. Geopolitics are a form of relations. In fact, another term for that is international relations.
Uh-huh.
So it could easily be worked in. But no, I'm excited to talk about relationships because I feel, you know, we're not out of the whole COVID thing, and these are still crazy times that we're living in. And one thing that has been helping me get through everything has been my relationships with other people. And I think helping people to kind of examine our relationships with other people it's always an important thing, no matter what the situation, because we are social animals.
Yeah. And on this podcast, we speak in English, and Jordy doesn't want anyone to know that he speaks English. So if you don't mind, Jordy, I can cut that out if you don't want me to tell people that. But if anyone is out there that like wants to speak in German or French to you, could they do that?
Sure, of course. They can always reach out. I think most of our audience is in the United States and North America, but anyone who wants to reach out and practice maybe a little bit, they can always contact me, and I can always give sources to anyone trying to learn a language. I love helping people with that.
Yeah, I was just thinking this morning, I said, Guten Morgen, and then you just responded with this like long phrase that was in German, and I was like, damn it, I don't know how to speak in German. That was it. That was all I knew. So
I'm getting worse and worse myself.
It'd be good if someone that speaks German could like message you on Facebook.
Das wäre sehr schön sein.
I love that language. It's so much fun.
I think it's beautiful. A lot of people say it sounds angry. I never thought that, but
I think it's just we've been conditioned that way because of, like, shows or movies or, I don't know. They're always, Germans are always portrayed as, like, scary.
Yeah, because of World War II, they're always shown in a very negative light, or, like, there's just one aspect to them.
Yeah.
And I was really grateful for having the opportunity to spend several years in Germany to discover what a beautiful place it really is and what a, you know, a diverse, I mean, it's one of the civilizations that contributed so much to humanity. It's just, there's so much more to it than Steven Spielberg World War II movies.
Jordy.
Yes.
What is something shitty and something joyful that's happened since the last time we spoke?
Well, something shitty that happened to me would have to be that because my girlfriend is a hypochondriac, we both had a case of the sniffles last week, and now she's convinced that we contracted COVID, and we were supposed to go on a little trip and visit some family members, but because she panicked and was convinced that we had it, even though we basically had no symptoms apart from a sniffle, we had to cancel those plans.
Aww. You were going to go camping.
Yeah, we were going to go camping, but the weather's not looking very good for that. So.
Oh, really? I thought you said it looked nice.
It's nice right now. I just checked. It's probably going to start raining around 3 o'clock.
Oh, okay. I feel like it always rains every time I go camping. Maybe it's just a thing that happens every day in the summer. I don't know.
With me, it rains every time I'm off, so I can't go camping. I should just tough it out and just be in a wet tent in the rain. And
are you? It's like it's all about being a rugged mountain man. It's like, are you really rugged if you can't stand a little rain?
That's right. I have to prove myself.
Yeah, that's what camping's about. Is proving yourself.
That's right. What would Teddy Roosevelt say if I couldn't go out into nature and dominate?
Yeah, he's your like idol, or
he's my spirit animal.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, that's not true. No, I don't.
Should I say my shitty thing?
Yes.
Okay. So I talked about this before, like when I moved into my apartment, there were various places that a dog had peed a significant amount. And so when I tried to like clean the spots, it really brought the smell out. And so I would walk into my apartment, it would just smell like dog pee. And I wanted to get a dog. So that would be bad because then the dog would like pee on top of it. So it would be even more pee. So
layers of pee.
Layers of pee, so much pee.
You're an archaeologist of dog pee.
And so to fix it, we decided that we would just cut out those parts of the carpet and put in new little portions. Because I was like, I don't think it's anywhere else. I think it's just in these spots. I don't want to have to uproot my cat because she doesn't like people. And so it was like, if I could just leave all my furniture where it is, we don't have to change all the carpet. So the shitty thing is that the carpet in all over definitely has pee, and so I should have just had them change the entire carpeting.
Yeah, it's better to just do the whole thing once you get at it.
Yeah, and so, like, I want a dog. I've been shopping for doggies on rescue sites, and everyone just scoops them up so quick, but I just hope that when I bring them in, they don't just pee everywhere because they smell the other dog pee, but that's the trend here, I guess. We just pee on the floor.
My friends and I were talking the other day, and we came up with a really dumb, like, joke of a business idea. It's somebody who sells drug-positive pee samples to young adults, because that way they can have drug-positive pee samples that they can use to fail drug tests at a job, and then they can impress their friends so their friends see that, oh wow, he does drugs, he's cool.
Yeah, that's easier probably than like finding the drugs and then doing the drugs.
Probably. This is for kids that want to be cool, but they're too scared to do drugs. And so, oh, I know it'll make me look cool if I lose this job because I failed a test.
That's a great business idea.
Yeah. Nobody steal that. I might do it.
Too late. I already stole it. I'm going to add a tab to the website where it's just like selling stupid shit like that.
You could have that 80s song, Tainted Love, but instead you change it to Tainted Piss. I've got two Tainted Piss. Oh, no, wait, that's not the right song.
Yeah.
I'm mixing my 80s songs. Sometimes I feel I've got two Tainted Piss. I've got two Now I don't know the lyrics.
Yeah, I know. I don't know either.
I've forgotten the other song.
Oh my god, I'm crying. I like your dance for it though too. You like get your shoulders involved.
People can't see us doing that.
Thank if God. Knows- I was thinking about this. I'm like, I don't want to have to wear makeup for a podcast or like wash my hair. I have these stupid bangs that I cut, and of course I regret them because I knew I would. I always regret bangs.
No, anything that I can do where I can do it in my pajamas, I'm all for.
Yeah, I'm definitely still in my PJs. What's a joyful thing that's happened?
Well, I guess it might not seem like much to a lot of people, but I've got 2 days off in a row. That's a pretty rare thing for me.
Woo!
So whether or not we get to go camping or not, I'm just really grateful to be off for more than one day in a row.
To be able to start drinking once you wake up and not have to go to work.
Yes, that's a very, very joyful thing.
Yeah. The stress of having to go to work drunk, that's really, it's rough on you.
Well, the other day I was off on Wednesday, and then I wasn't off until the following Wednesday.
Oh my gosh.
Like, I literally did like a whole week, and it's just...
That's brutal, man. I can't do that. I have the 2 days off right now, and then I have another day off throughout the week, and it's like that one day off is just, I might as well not have it because it's like, I just have to be productive the whole time. Like, that's the day I'd go do all the things, which is nice. It's like a errand running day, which, you know, anyone can use, but it's like I sleep in, and that's basically my favorite part of it, is like it's sleeping
yes.
in. And then the rest of the time it's work. And so to have that extra day after all that bullshit is like so nice. I'm sorry that you don't get that very often. That's terrible.
Yeah, I really miss my old job of being a janitor because I just condensed all of my hours over a 2 day period. I did like 28 hours over 2 days, and that was really brutal, but it was just so nice being off for the whole week.
Yeah. Wait, what was your joyful thing?
That was being off for 2 days in a row.
Okay. I was like, we made this negative.
It ain't much, but it's honest work. What's your joyful thing?
So I started taking a new medication called Celexa, which is an antidepressant, and I guess it's also an anti-anxiety med. And at first, I mean, I was experiencing a ton of side effects. Every time I would, like, I was taking it in the morning, and I would be so nauseous for, like, hours. So one positive thing about that was that I didn't really have an appetite for 2 days. For the first time in a long time, I was below 150, which is my weight, by the way. I'm telling everyone that for some reason. I was like, oh, cool, because COVID made me gain like 5 pounds.
I think everyone gained weight.
Oh, at least 5 pounds. Yeah. My friend was saying she gained the COVID-19, like the freshman 15. But so 5 isn't bad, but also I wasn't exercising a lot. So I think I had a lot of muscle tone before. And so I probably gained more weight, but it was just I lost a little muscle as well. And so I probably got 19 pounds fatter, but only gained 5 physical pounds. I don't know. We don't need to go into this. This was supposed to be joyful. So anyways, I was experiencing a lot of side effects. I think I'm like 2 weeks in now, and I was really depressed, and I was just like, Oh my God, this is making it worse. Like, this is definitely not better. And then, so I texted my therapist and I was like, I feel more depressed. And she's like, okay, stop taking it and we'll make an appointment. So that was cool. She was just like ready to make an appointment with me. And, mm-hmm. and she was just going to squeeze in 30 minutes today. And I ended up counseling because yesterday I felt so much better. And the reason why was because I was feeling depressed and it was like, okay, I need to practice what I preach. I tell people that when they're in those moments to reach out to other people, because there is a huge amount of people that care about you. And it's like, they're not just pretending. Like when you're in that moment, you think like, oh God, no one really cares. Like they're just, you know, accommodating, you know, just like tolerating me. I feel like that so much that people are just tolerating me, which is probably true from time to time. But, so I just texted like all kinds of people. I didn't even realize how many people that, I felt like I could just, you know, say hi. I was just like, how are you? 'Cause these people I haven't even talked to. And then I can't remember how we would get onto the topic, but I was just like, oh yeah, it's been rough. Like today sucks or whatever. Or I would talk about something else I'm going through and they're like, oh, and they were so reassuring. And it just reminded me how many people are in my life, like even though I don't talk to them, but that they do care about my well-being, even though they're not reaching out and talking to me because they're living their lives. A lot of them are introverts and, or they're in relationships and they just don't like think of talking to other people because they already like get that dopamine fix from that one person that they like live with. And so, yeah, and with this medication I found too, is that I'm willing to be more social too. 'Cause I was kind of like, oh, I'm really happy alone. Like I don't want people to interfere with like my hobbies and all these things I want to do during the day. But then, so I think the medication is helping with me being more social, like less anxious about it. 'Cause I think it does help with social anxiety, which I didn't really feel like I had, but I think maybe I started to develop it a little bit. But I mean, I think a huge part of it is the depression. You don't realize how bad it gets. Like I don't go into a deep, dark place the majority of the time, but the majority of the time I would be like irritable, inconsistent in my moods, canceling on people all the time because of that like lack of dopamine in my brain and or serotonin, I guess, because this is a serotonin reuptake inhibitor.
Yeah. That's great. I'm really glad that you managed to find something that's giving you positive results.
Yeah. And
it's really true about people. People are amazing. I myself was feeling really depressed and obviously it shows, and I didn't really say anything, but I just out of nowhere, I would have coworkers and old friends from back in Colorado sending me messages, like asking me if I'm doing okay and trying to figure out what's going on. And then I would open up to them and there's still people like continuing to send me messages, making sure that I'm doing all right.
Yeah.
And letting me know that I'm not alone. And it's really a wonderful feeling when you know that there are people who care.
Yeah. I was thinking, I mean, I was trying for a while now to just kind of not need anyone. People have let me down before. And then it's like, well, I'm just going to try to make it so that I can't be let down. Like no amount of people leaving me will ever hurt me because I am happy alone. And what I recognized was that the fact that I need to feel loved and cared about is normal. And I like needing someone or like wanting someone to act like they care about me is actually very important for my happiness. And, you know, I've been trying to change that about myself, but really what I need to do is accept that about myself, that I can take some time out of my day to reach out and feel cared about, or, you know, in turn, it might make them feel like they're cared about too, without them having to do much, which is always nice. Like, to not have to do much to feel cared about. But yeah, that's been a nice revelation.
Well, I think we'll have more time to talk about that in the upcoming season since we're going to be discussing relationships. So hopefully we'll be coming up with some interesting subjects to provoke people's...
Yeah, totally. Should we just maybe tell people how we met?
Yeah, I think you have a better memory of the very first time we met. Did we meet at Anderson's or?
Oh, no, I'm sure we met on several occasions, but originally we became a part of the same world. Like, you didn't exist before I met you, so you started existing.
You willed me into existence.
In second grade. When I went to Wilmot, and I remember you and your brother were really nice, and I was into that back then, so I had a crush on you.
Oh.
Did you know that?
No. A lot of girls had crushes on me, and I was completely unaware of it. I was so oblivious to girls and relationships and stuff like that.
How old were we in second grade?
What is that, 8 years old?
I think it's younger.
Oh, God, you're five in preschool?
No, in kindergarten.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, five in kindergarten, six in first grade, and seven in second grade.
Yeah, so we're probably, I guess, seven or eight, yeah. So that's my first experience of you.
Oh, that's
cute. Yeah, isn't that so cute? We were seven. I was like, he's so nice. And your brother was so nice. And then in high school, you had a group of friends. Everyone wore, like, black trench coats and stuff. And you were
cool.
Yeah, you were, like, very
kids.
Standoffish. You were very outcasty. And this was post-Columbine.
Yeah, we were cool.
Yeah, so I was worried you were going to shoot up the school.
No, it didn't fit into my plans.
So I befriended you guys because I didn't want you to kill me.
You manipulated us?
Yeah. And also, so this is the cool thing that happened with that is that say you did want to shoot up the school,
mm-hmm.
and I gave you a little idea of what people are like. So that you were like, wait, maybe they're not all that bad. And then instead of just not killing me, you didn't kill anyone.
I definitely didn't want to kill anybody.
No, at no point did you have that in your plan. So that's good. I didn't think so. You seem like a very, like, it's like in second grade you were so nice. I'm like, he's so nice. And then in high school I'm like, oh, God, he's going to kill us all.
No, I mean, I was like, I had friends that were into like the goth style. And so I was trying to be cool and I was copying them. At one point I just outright rejected it altogether. I got so sick of wearing black that I started just wearing all white for a while.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I just completely changed, you know, my persona. And it's like, I'm tired of being a conformist, nonconformist, because that's essentially what goth is.
I mean, it is in our generation. Like, I met someone who was, like, an OG goth, and he's really cool. Like, he's a real goth. He made art that was very gothic style, and he goes to Milk Bar, which is where goths go to dance.
Yeah, I love goths. I love goths, by the way.
I do, too. We were goths in high school.
Some of my best friends are goths. It's just...
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that was the real me.
Yeah.
And now I don't really like, ironically, my job forces me to wear all black. And I actually really don't like wearing black. I was telling you this before we started recording. I feel like black is a kind of a heavy and hot color. Yeah. Every fabric that I wear that's black, I feel like kind of weighed down by it.
Yeah.
But... high school was fun for me. One thing I regret is being in my little bubble with my little group of friends and not putting myself out there and being more sociable. But ironically, I feel like our high school was just really friendly. Like, there are obviously cliques. Like, you know, there are popular kids and nerdy kids, but I feel like everyone was nice to each other and civil.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my perspective anyway, but
oh God, no, I hated high school. Not for any reason specifically. I think maybe it was because it just seemed very conditional and fake. Like every friendship I had, it was all like I had friends that were really close and we would hang out every day. And then just like another person would decide that, you know, either they weren't cool or I wasn't cool. And then we weren't going to be friends anymore. Just everything was so conditional. There was no real connecting, I don't think. I think if you had deep moments with people, it was one-on-one and it was like, you know, now we're best friends and this isn't a, you know, I don't know. I don't look back at it and say like, I would go back. I definitely.
Yeah. Ironically, me being like reclusive and in my little bubble, that's probably what protected my perspective on high school. Cause I'm just like playing Dungeons and Dragons with my three best friends. Yeah. And I'm looking at it at the outside and I see everyone smiling. Like, oh, these people are nice.
Yeah. I'm such a poser for nerd stuff. I regret not being nerdier, like doing Dungeons and Dragons or getting into anime and stuff like that. I mean, I'm a total poser with it now. Like I try to get into those groups because those are my people, really. It's just, I don't have the practice or like the commitment to do stuff like that.
Well, maybe you don't agree with me on this, but I think now like nerd culture, quote unquote, like anime, role-playing games and video games, I think that's now being more accepted as like mainstream. Mm. And I think, you know, we're not that old, but I still think like back in our day when we were in high school, it was still seen, those things were still seen more as like a taboo or like something that you need to like be ashamed of.
Yeah, you had to hide it.
And like girls weren't like openly accepted into that kind of stuff either.
Oh yeah, true.
So I think it was, you know, I think it was starting to become more acceptable, but I think we were still in that area where, you know, if you were a nerd, like that was a bad thing.
Yeah. So then post high school is when we started hanging out.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. When some of my really closest friendships with people that I grew up with, sadly, or maybe ironically, started after we were in high school. I think that like we were hanging out a little bit in high school, but I think we started really getting close like once we were around 18. That's how I remember it.
Yeah, same. And then when we got, I don't know if we started going out to clubs and like dancing at that age, or at least at 21
we would probably go, more like 21.
Yeah, we would go dancing and your moves are just like beyond this world.
I can't dance well anymore. I'm too old and stiff. And plus, we don't dance anymore. It's outlawed.
Yeah.
We're living in Footloose world.
It's so sad.
It's literally outlawed.
I know.
At least it is here where I live in Quebec. Like, the discotheques are closed. And at a bar, like, I was out at a bar with some friends, and we were listening to music that we liked. And we asked the DJ to put on a song, and we got up from our table and we started doing, we weren't even like hardcore dancing or anything. We were just like, with our shoulders. And the bartender came up, he's like, you need to stop dancing or you guys are going to leave.
Oh.
And it's just like,
what?
So sad and
like,
awkward.
Since when do they tell people not to dance in bars?
Well, since they started doing the, deconfinement, is that the word in English?
I don't know.
Like letting people back. They reopened all the bars and everything and the restaurants.
You're there, but okay, so you guys were too close.
Yeah, like you can go to a bar or a restaurant, but you have to like stay at your table, and if you get up, you have to put on your mask.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you can't be dancing because you can't be getting close to people.
Even though those are the people you came with?
Yeah, it's kind of like, for one thing, I'm already close to people, but I guess they don't want you getting dancing and like close to people that you don't know necessarily, but it's
but
a,
you were.
At that point you just shut everything down. I don't know. It's like, why are we open if we're still...
My favorite move that I always remember of yours was you put like one hand back by your tailbone, And then you have your other hand up at your forehead and your, what is this finger called?
The index finger?
Yeah, the index finger is up so that it looks like a horn is on your forehead. And you like kind of move up and down like you're a horse.
Oh, the unicorn.
Yeah, yeah. I knew it was called the unicorn. It had to be called the unicorn. But that's one of my favorite of your moves.
I think Kelly invented that move.
Oh, really?
Our friend Kelly, yeah. Oh, I don't want to dox people, but
we once had a friend named Kelly. She won't talk to me anymore.
Well, I think she did it. She invented that.
That doesn't surprise me.
I don't. Well, I feel like it was either her or someone that I met in a bar when I was in France. I feel like I can't take the credit for that one, but I did make it mainstream.
Yeah, you.
Because everyone does it now.
Okay, let's read some surveys.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a loneliness survey from the website. If you go to practicemakespodcast.com, you can go to the survey page and send us a survey, change your name, if you want to protect your innocence, or is it innocence?
Anonymity?
Yeah, anonymity is a better word. Let's see. What can we call you? Use a nickname if you don't want to be recognized. This may be read on the podcast. This is the... Well, okay. Is this the first survey? We've read one before.
Yep, we've read one.
We're going to keep reading them as the episodes go on, but we're just going to read a couple today.
Yeah, so, please keep filling them out. We'll get to them eventually.
Yeah, this is really cool to hear from you guys. What can we call you? Hallie? Not Halle Berry, is in parentheses. Aww. I think it's pronounced Halle. It's not Halle Berry, sorry.
Haley?
Yeah, is it? Not. Well, because she said not Halle Berry, so I assume that means...
Oh, it must be Halle, yeah.
Pronounced it Halle. Oh, no. What is your experience with loneliness? I dread it. I don't do well with it. I honestly just don't know what to do with myself. I've recently been really honest with myself and becoming self-aware of this is a gift. Dealing with loneliness positively. This is a huge goal of mine to improve my experience whilst lonely.
Oh, well, I hope Hallie's not feeling lonely anymore.
I mean, there's a chance she is because we're kind of still in the pandemic. I feel like things are starting to open up. And I can feel like a little more light being let in, you know, a little bit at a time.
Yeah, we're not quite out of the woods yet. So I could see Hallie and others, I mean, myself included, still having issues with loneliness and isolation.
Yeah. And then that like self-awareness is, like she said, it's a gift. I totally agree with that. It's like when you're depressed and you just kind of like dig into it and you're like, yeah, like I'll just be depressed rather than being like, oh wait, I have tools for this, let me actually fucking use them.
Well, don't feel lonely, Hallie, and if it helps, feel free to reach out and interact with us.
Yeah, especially if we pronounced your name wrong.
Yeah, let us know if we're saying it right.
If you know any languages, Jordy will freely talk with you in them.
Even if you don't, I'll just shout at you in said language. At least you're not alone that way.
Okay, the next question is, what if anything makes you feel better in those moments? If someone randomly reaches out, sad music makes it way worse for me, but I'd be willing to give it another shot. Winky face.
Aww.
That's a winky face for you, because you talked about sad music and how it made you feel better.
Yeah, that worked one time. It really helped me one time when I just sat and dwelled in my sadness, but maybe that was just the exception, not the rule.
Yeah, you had to cry it out. Sometimes it does feel better to cry.
But no, I think in the overwhelming majority of cases, it's probably better to just change your mood and do something that is more uplifting.
Maybe. But, I like those days where if I'm feeling down, it's like rainy outside and it's all like gloomy. I like those days because I think we talked about this before, but sometimes when it's nice out, it's like it's mocking you.
This the son has his sunglasses on, and he lowers the sunglasses, and he just does like a condescending, passive aggressive wink at you.
Fucking asshole.
Fuck you, son.
Fuck you, son. This is the last question that she filled out. Do you ever experience productive solitude? What's your experience with that? I'm working on it! Exclamation point. I am not very good at making it known that there's an exclamation point without
you
saying.
Have to state the punctuation mark.
Getting started is the hardest part, but it is never something I regret. Like working out, it sucks sometimes, but you'll never actually regret a workout. This is just sort of a mental workout, which can actually be way harder. I agree. Ugh.
Yeah, it's really hard to get that initial motivation to get something going. Mm-hmm. And when and if you do, I guess my advice would be to just keep doing it, because that getting started is the hardest part. So you want to just keep the ball rolling.
Yeah, you know what saying I realized I hate is, an object in motion stays in motion, because that is just purely true when it comes to like physics. It's not actually true. Cause like what it, you know, cause we get injuries. So obviously we wouldn't stay in motion, or there's just so many factors that keep us from staying in motion. I get the concept behind it, but yeah.
No, there's so many things that can sabotage us. But that's why it's so awful when someone puts a stick in our spokes, because then we have to start all over again and roll the boulder back up the hill.
I mean, there's always going to be something that throws me off my path. It's like I'm going strong, you know, it feels like this will never end, and then something throws me off. It's like, well, shit. But that's part of the fun of it, right?
Yeah, and to be fair to Isaac Newton, the full phrase is objects in motion tend to stay in motion unless outside forces interact on them.
Oh my gosh. People have been taking it out of context, changing the quote.
Well, we'll make that our quote of the day. I didn't look one up, but
that's perfect. I'll read one more survey and then you can say that quote again just to really drive it home.
Thank you. Thank you for filling out the survey,
thank
Hallie.
You, Hallie, so much. That was nice, in-depth conversation or questions. You know, we got to pull
it's
a lot from
it. It's fun getting to interact.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to read a 10-day challenge survey. I'm really excited for this one because I like that the idea was my idea. So what shall we call you? Maynard. What is your 10-day challenge? No phone at bedtime or first hour in the AM.
That's a good reasonable challenge. And I think that's something a lot of people can relate to.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where it's like you make that goal and then you don't do it. Sometimes I make goals and then I forget to do them. So it helps me to like write. I have this whiteboard and I write it down. I'm like, oh yeah, I wasn't going to drink.
Oops, forgot about that. I got drunk.
I forget
drunk
all the time I'm going to quit drinking, and then I... Yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah, that's right. I was going to not look at my phone. What has been the hardest part about it? Trusting I will sleep and not riffing about FOMO. I like how much, slang he's using. I love slang.
Riffing about FOMO?
Yeah, fear of missing out.
Oh, fear of missing out. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Needing to be up to date with everything that's going on.
Yeah, and trusting that he will fall asleep. Because, yeah, I know people like that, too, where they feel like they have to fall asleep with the TV on.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll just leave it on, and then they just end up watching TV.
My problem with the phone is that my alarm clock is in my phone.
Yeah.
So I inevitably have to set it and check it and make sure it's going to go off. And then just by virtue of doing that, I'll start playing on my phone.
Yeah. I have a routine that when I lay in bed, I'm like, all right, now it's time for me to get caught up on all my bullshit that doesn't matter. It's like Instagram. And then I feel like shit. I used to like Instagram because it was like, you know, just photos and whatever, it wasn't all that bad. And then now it's just constant negative. I just feel like if I'm on there too much, I feel like there's no good news. And then Pokemon Go. I gotta catch my Pokemon while I lay in bed.
Is that still a thing? I remember it being super popular for like a week.
Oh my gosh.
And then everyone just let it go.
It's coming back. It's awesome. You should get it because then we can battle each other. And we can send each other gifts.
I would like to do that. I
said gifts,
actually,
but I meant gifts. I can't say it with a gifts. T. Gifts.
I worked on a military installation when it came out, and there was like a gym located at the military base, and yeah. So people were just all the time coming onto the base trying to catch Pokemon and be top at the gym.
Yeah.
And so the Canadian government like declared Pokemon Go a national like security threat, and oh, wow. So they closed off the base to like civilians and
wow.
people that didn't have any business being there.
Yeah.
But I reaped the benefits from that
oh.
because I got to be top on the gym
nice.
And nobody could come and challenge me. So I was just, I was the hermit king.
I feel like, okay, I wanted to keep talking about Pokemon Go. I'm like, but okay. What was I going to say? Someone showed me a video of when it first came out, like 2000, whatever year that was. And there were crowds of people like running to Central Park, like trying to get this Pokemon. And I was like, oh my gosh. But it's not like that now, but it is coming back.
Gotta catch them all.
Yes.
Well, did this person manage to not look at their phone, or how long did they do it?
Let's find out. What has been the best part about it? Less temptation to drive distracted. Oh, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, because you're not already, like, triggering that dopamine in your brain when you first wake up, where it's like, dopamine, dopamine, dopamine. So then you don't have, that tolerance to it. So then when you're in the car, if you're a little bored, you don't reach for your phone. I like that. That's a great way that it improves your life. Will you continue it after this? He said yes.
Oh, that's great.
That's great. I wonder how it's doing now.
No, I think he set a reasonable goal for himself. I think
yeah.
he really lived up to the spirit of the 10-day challenge. Like, not something too extraordinary. And
yeah.
hopefully that will help him to keep making little improvements like that.
Yeah, I like the 10-day challenge because it's like little increments, you know, in like we were talking about, where you get knocked off your path a little bit and you have to remotivate yourself, the 10 days just pops up wherever, and it's only 10 days. And if you can commit 10 days to it, you're building that resilience inside of you to just, like, commit to something for a whole 10 days, you know?
Yeah, I think it's a reasonable thing to ask someone.
Yeah, and then if you start small, too, it's like you're still building that muscle inside of you to commit to more things that are maybe even more life-changing. Were you surprised by anything, or did you learn anything new? The self-inflicted need for visual stimulation is not all-powerful. Woo!
Oh, that's a good quote. I might
we'll
make
end
that
on that. Cool. No, just kidding. Yeah, it is. I mean, addiction is, it seems so strong when you're in it. And then when you're on the outside of it, you're like, yeah, fuck you. You're
yeah.
not my higher power.
You show that phone.
Yeah.
Smash that phone.
Smash.
No, don't do
Wait,
that.
Wait, don't do that. That's expensive. Do you have any suggestions for someone else doing a similar challenge? Keep real books handy. Yeah.
That's something that's so sad. Even as little as 5 or 6 years ago, I was reading books quite regularly. I was reading quite a lot. And I feel like I was a late bloomer with technology and the internet and stuff like that. And so it's only been within the last 4 to 5 years that I've started being more present on the internet and on Facebook and all that. But I really feel like it has diminished my ability to be able to concentrate and read
mm-hmm.
for a long period of time because we're just so used to 30-second sound bites.
Right.
And
yeah. You got to wean yourself off of that. It's like, I need to read a book. I have a Kindle that my mom gave me that I downloaded a couple books on, but I'm more interested in like self-improvement, self-help books. So now it's like, I'm so focused in that bubble that, like, I think I do. I need to branch out and, like, think about other things. Suggestions, comments on how to improve the podcast. More jazz.
Oh.
Is there jazz in our podcast?
We had that, like, jazz music intro, I think, for, like, the first couple episodes.
We
have
did?
You been? Yeah.
Oh.
I know the first episode had that.
Oh, really?
Huh. Yeah.
More jazz.
Well, we should try and find, like, some kind of jazz music that we can put as an outro or an intro.
Do you think he's being serious, though? Like, he really does want more jazz. Or maybe it's because one time I said that something was jazz, but it was actually a different type of music.
Well, we're just going to have to presume that he's being serious, and so now we're putting jazz into it.
You better not hate jazz. I hope you don't hate jazz.
Get those jazz hands ready, people.
Do you want to say a quote?
Yeah, I'm just going to read the same quote. This one's from Isaac Newton. An object in motion tends to remain in motion along a straight line unless acted upon by an outside force.
Thank you, Jordy, for educating us.
No, thank you. And thank all of y'all for filling out those surveys. I really enjoy interacting with the audience. And it's
so
nice
cool.
to know that people are out there listening. And it's really fun.
Yeah, it's so cool. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram. Go to the website, practicemakespodcast.com. And fill out some surveys. And we'll see you next week.
Yep, we're going to get started on the new season. We're going to keep trying to make good content for y'all. So looking forward to seeing y'all next week.
Bye.
Bye.